File 46. Chapter 9. The German Workers' Party. One day, I received an order from my superiors to investigate the nature of an association which was apparently political. It called itself the German Labour Party, and was soon to hold a meeting at which Gottfried Feder would speak. I was ordered to attend this meeting and report on the situation. The spirit of curiosity in which the army authorities then regarded political parties can be very well understood. The revolution had granted the soldiers the right to take an active part in politics, and it was particularly those with the smallest experience who had availed themselves of this right. But not until the Centre and the Social Democratic parties were reluctantly forced to recognise that the sympathies of the soldiers had turned away from the revolutionary parties towards the national movement and the national reawakening, did they feel obliged to withdraw from the army the right to vote and to forbid it all political activity. The fact that the Centre and Marxism had adopted this policy was instructive, because if they had not thus curtailed the rights of the citizen, as they described the political rights of the soldiers after the revolution, the government which had been established in November 1918 would have been overthrown within a few years, and the dishonour and disgrace of the nation would not have been further prolonged. At that time, the soldiers were on the point of taking the best way to rid the nation of the vampires and valets who served the cause of the Entente in the interior of the country. But the fact that the so-called national parties voted enthusiastically for the doctrinaire policy of the criminals who organized the revolution in November 1918 helped also to render the army ineffective as an instrument of national restoration, and thus showed once again where men might be led by the purely abstract notions accepted by these most gullible people. The minds of the bourgeois middle classes had become so fossilized that they sincerely believed the army could once again become what it had previously been, namely, a rampart of German valour, while the Centre Party and the Marxists intended only to extract the poisonous tooth of nationalism, without which an army must always remain just a police force, but can never be in the position of a military organization capable of fighting against the outside enemy. This truth was sufficiently proved by subsequent events. Or did our national politicians believe, after all, that the development of our army could be other than national? This belief might be possible, and could be explained by the fact that during the war they were not soldiers, but merely talkers. In other words, they were parliamentarians, and as such they did not have the slightest idea of what was passing in the hearts of those men who remembered the greatness of their own past, and also remembered that they had once been the first soldiers in the world. I decided to attend the meeting of this party, which had hitherto been entirely unknown to me. When I arrived that evening, in the guest room of the former Sternecker Brewery, which has now become a place of historical significance for us, I found approximately 20 to 25 persons present, most of them belonging to the lower classes. The theme of Feder's lecture was already familiar to me, for I had heard it in the lecture course I have spoken of. Therefore I could concentrate my attention on studying the society itself. The impression it made upon me was neither good nor bad. I felt that here was just another one of these many new societies which were being formed at that time. In those days, everybody felt called upon to found a new party whenever he felt displeased with the course of events and had lost confidence in all the parties already existing. Thus it was that new associations sprouted up all round, to disappear just as quickly, without exercising any effect or making any noise whatever. Generally speaking, the founders of such associations did not have the slightest idea of what it means to bring together a number of people for the foundations of a party or a movement. Therefore, these associations disappeared because of their woeful lack of anything like an adequate grasp of the necessities of the situation. My opinion of the German Labour Party was not very different after I had listened to their proceedings for about 2 hours. I was glad when Feder finally came to a close. I had observed enough, and was just about to leave, when it was announced that anybody who wished was free to open a discussion. Thereupon I decided to remain. But the discussion seemed to proceed without anything of vital importance being mentioned, when suddenly a professor commenced to speak. He opened by throwing doubt on the accuracy of what Feder had said, and then, after Feder had replied very effectively, the professor suddenly took up his position on what he called the basis of facts. But before this, he recommended the young party most urgently to introduce the secession of Bavaria from Prussia as one of the leading proposals in its programme. In the most self-assured way, this man kept on insisting that German Austria would join Bavaria and that the peace would then function much better. He made other similarly extravagant statements. At this juncture, I felt bound to ask for permission to speak, and to tell the learned gentleman what I thought. The result was that the honourable gentleman who had last spoken slipped out of his place like a whipped cur, without uttering a sound. While I was speaking, the audience listened with an expression of surprise on their faces. When I was just about to say good night to the assembly and to leave, a man came after me quickly and introduced himself. I did not grasp the name correctly, but he placed a little book in my hand, which was obviously a political pamphlet, and asked me very earnestly to read it. I was quite pleased, because in this way I could come to know about this association without having to attend its tiresome meetings. Moreover, this man, who had the appearance of a workman, made a good impression on me. Thereupon I left the hall. At that time I was living in one of the barracks of the 2nd Infantry Regiment. I had a little room which still bore the unmistakable traces of the Revolution. During the day I was mostly out, at the quarters of Light Infantry No. 41, or else attending meetings or lectures held at some other branch of the army. I spent only the night at the quarters where I lodged. Since I usually woke up at about 5 o'clock every morning, I got into the habit of amusing myself with watching little mice which played around in my small room. I used to place a few pieces of hard bread or crust on the floor, and watched the funny little beasts playing around and enjoying themselves with these delicacies. I had suffered so many privations in my own life that I well knew what hunger was, and could only too well picture to myself the pleasure these little creatures were experiencing. So, on the morning after the meeting I have mentioned, it happened that about 5 o'clock I lay fully awake in bed, watching the mice playing and vying with each other. As I was not able to go to sleep again, I suddenly remembered the pamphlet that one of the workers had given me at the meeting. It was a small pamphlet, of which this worker was the author. In his little book, he described how his mind had thrown off the shackles of the Marxist and trades union phraseology, and that he had come back to the nationalist ideals. This was the reason why he had entitled his little book, My Political Awakening. The pamphlet secured my attention for the moment, and I began to read, and I read it with interest to the end. The process here described was similar to that which I had experienced in my own case 10 years previously. Unconsciously, my own experiences began to stir again in my mind. During that day, my thoughts returned several times to what I had read, but I finally decided to give the matter no further attention. A week or so later, however, I received a postcard which informed me, to my astonishment, that I had been admitted into the German Labour Party. I was asked to answer this communication and to attend a meeting of the party committee on Wednesday next. This manner of getting members rather amazed me, and I did not know whether to be angry or laugh at it. Hitherto I had not any idea of entering a party already in existence, but wanted to found one of my own. Such an invitation as I now had received I looked upon as entirely out of the question for me. I was about to send a written reply when my curiosity got the better of me, and I decided to attend the gathering at the date assigned, so that I might expound my principles to these gentlemen in person.